The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Root Insurance is all about you and how you drive. In fact, that's the number one factor we use to give you a better price, which puts you in control. Just download the Root app, hit the road, and we'll take care of the rest. The app measures your driving behavior and gives you a custom rate based primarily on your driving. The better you drive, the better your rate. It's car insurance made for you. Visit joinroot.com today to get started. Disclaimers may apply. See joinroot.com for details.
I'm getting into my old bag. I'm going in. I ain't leaving none of y'all motherfuckers satisfied. You feel like I'm getting mine and getting out.
Like, I don't. Can you even do that anymore?
Yes.
Yeah.
I can. I can't do it with you. I can't because I love you. I gotta please you. I want to do all of these. I don't give a fuck about none of that shit.
Okay, I would hope that you would be a better person.
A wild Mikey turns back to the world. Oh, absolutely.
Now check it out. Now look, the apple don't fall far from trees, right? I'm in the land of milk and honey with the bees, like. And if I'm ripping it, what I'm sowing with my seeds, like. Now check it out.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, I'm Mike.
And I'm Randy.
And this is the Black Millennial Marriage Podcast, where we give you an uncensored look into all we're learning, unlearning, and loving about marriage in real time. Welcome all. We're thankful you tuned in.
Before we get into our episode, we wanted to shout out our village over on Patreon. Thank you all, but we especially want to welcome our newest members.
Yes.
Danny B,
mm-hmm.
Alexis, Jhonae, who has been on Patreon for a while, but who jumped to a higher tier.
Gracias.
And lastly, Jules and Kristen, who opted for an annual membership.
Yes, so Patreon offers annual memberships for you to sign up.
Yeah, they just did it, you know, launched it for everybody, and some people have already jumped in and you get a month free. If you do it that way, just mm-hmm. letting y'all know, you can join us over at Patreon. So
yeah, new mixtapes have gone out. Daddy journals have gone out. Randy postings, unedited episodes. That's all the stuff that you can find over there. So.
And more. Thank you. corrections.
We have a couple of corrections from previous episodes before we jump into this, because Randy does not want you to hear something and think she didn't think about it. I'll go back and listen to it.
You also have a correction on here. What are you talking about?
But I only came to that conclusion because you're right. Like, you just don't want to leave it unsaid. So what is your corrections?
So I recently dropped an episode of Indie called Black Is with two of my closest girlfriends from college. And I mentioned this book that I always talk about called When Bad Things Happen to Good People, which actually might be a really great read for everyone in this time. But anyway, I said that the author was a priest, and he is, in fact, a rabbi.
There is a distinction.
And there is a difference. So, just wanted to let y'all know that I don't just be saying stuff. And if I do, I'm going to come back and correct myself. Also, on Mikey's Big Stick Indie, he told me to, like, say something randomly about myself. And I got my sun and moon sign mixed up. He was supposed to go back and say...
This was eating at Randy forever.
Because I know that I would look up somebody's sign real quick. And I don't want y'all doing wrong investigation. So, he was supposed to do it in his episode, but he never went back and updated it for me. So, I'm going to say it. My sun is a Gemini, my rising, and my moon is a Taurus. And both of these signs are sun signs from my siblings. So, it's really interesting that that they're showing up in my stuff. So, anyway, yeah. So, those are my corrections. How about you?
I love you.
Mm-hmm.
I love you so much. Okay. So, my correction is also from my Big Sick episode. I made mention about what my first gun was, and I think I was tongue-tied, and I said it was a 9/11, which is not a thing. It was a 1911. So that's literally it. It was a Taurus 1911, really old, rusty thing. And that's it. That's all I got.
Okay. So, y'all, continuing with the theme of plot twist. Boy, did y'all miss us?
I don't think they
did. Because we missed y'all. We haven't done an episode since We're Rich, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so y'all been getting a whole bunch of interviews. We've been getting a lot of great feedback about that. So thank you. Y'all have been asking for interviews since we launched the podcast.
And because of this pandemic, we finally figured out ways to do that. And I dare say we got good at it.
You dare
say. We got good. I dare say. That they actually were really, really great. I enjoyed every episode we did for all the couples or individuals that we pulled onto.
They're great.
This podcast. And so if y'all enjoy that, obviously keep giving us that feedback because we want to keep giving you content like that. However,
we are not an interview podcast.
We are not. It is us at the end of the day. So
we back.
We back. We bike.
Until we drop another interview. So continuing with the theme of plot twist, we're going to reintroduce ourselves because we realize we need updated information about each other.
Yep.
So in our first segment, we're going to ask other... In our first segment, we're going to ask each other some hard-hitting questions to get to know each other again. Second is our fight or flight, where today I'm confronting Mikey about defeating the purpose of fight or flight. It's like, I'm about to give up on them because...
Why?
You defeat the, and you'll find out. Finally,
okay,
we'll wrap it up with our PDA segment, where we show each other some love and or thank each other for something.
Maybe.
And we hope you enjoy. And we're back. So, backstory for this episode is before and during the lockdown, we realized that we are not the same people we were when we got together at 15 and 17.
Which we have talked about before.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we do relationship check-ins sometimes, but...
Things keep changing.
We're not the same.
We're not the same as we were some months ago.
Yeah.
Again, this pandemic, we've been inside for 6 months.
Mm-hmm. We've been doing what we're supposed to do.
And so, I know we've definitely posted some pictures where we went to the canyon a couple of weeks ago on our social distance walk, which is one of the first times we actually even got out the house.
From like 2 hours.
Yeah.
It was a long time.
Randy and I have been inside this entire time.
Yeah, my job has moved indefinitely to work from home because my boss realized that we were more productive at the house. He was like, well, let's just do it.
Yeah, and I have only been going outside for grocery runs, same as before. So while y'all been partying, not y'all, I know that we have some listeners with some sense, but I also know that y'all are on social media just as I am. While everybody's been taking trips and hitting the club back up again, strip club been packed, by the way.
I heard. I'm gonna try wings. I keep hearing about these Magic City lemon pepper wings. Can we just order takeout?
No.
Can you not do that?
No.
What if I leave a tip for sure?
You have to go through the motions of the strip club before you get your shit. Because that's part of the experience.
I just want to eat.
No, what you have to do is you have to pay your $10 for parking, and then you have to get patted down and pay your $20 at the door, and then you got to pay whatever tax to withdraw your money from an ATM if you didn't get your money before, because we only operate in singles here. so if you didn't have it before, we'll do it for you, but there's a 10% charge on that, and then you get your wings. Nah. And then there's a wait. So while you wait, please enjoy one of these dances from our lovely... It's a beautiful scam.
Mikey's cousin was out here at the strip club.
You gotta tell a story.
Just pussy. You can't even say vagina. Just all in the camera. And I'm like, get in there and talk about he got hacked. I hope you hear this episode. I hope you hear it, sir. I know who I'm talking about.
That shit was funny.
This is not OnlyFans.
Break community guidelines. So he immediately was like, nah, I got hacked.
Nah, you all like, in
nigga, it's your phone.
It's your face. It's you. You holding her.
But he wasn't holding the camera. I just like he has a good.
And we're not trying to judge nobody. Everybody got limitations. Just like, but kill your side of the car. I want to go outside.
I really do too.
But you know, it's okay because that's why we got to do this episode. Things have changed. For example, trauma doesn't link us anymore. Like it used to way back when.
What do you mean by that? Because
I feel like we found each other and like fell in love because we both been through some shit. And we could finally find somebody that would hear it and not think that we had like smallpox. You know, it brought us closer.
Okay, but, that's what you meant. So our trauma definitely bonded us, but that, you know, that's not the only
thing. But you know, after a while when that wears off, and I think even Viva has talked about this when we did the interview with them, like after a while when you healed and you realize all you had in common was your trauma, you know.
You got some other shit that you need to explore.
Or you realize you don't work.
Or that.
And I think it's clear, or I hope it's clear, that we haven't reached that part of like our relationship where we just like, nah, it ain't even working no more. But I realize that it's not just like this sad, what we hoped and wish for things that like link us.
No.
Now like Drew links us and Groot. And a little trauma.
Only a little trauma.
Our bodies have changed. Our favorite colors maybe. And at first all of that was a bit daunting and frustrating because we were talking to each other and communicating, like, you know, going off of old information.
Yeah, like, I'm talking to old Randy. And or maybe not so much old Randy. There may be moments where, like, I may have made a comment that old Randy would have responded one way to, but present Randy, that is not the case.
Yeah.
And the same for, like, you speaking to old Mikey.
Yeah.
Old Mikey meaning 2 months ago. Like, I've been through some shit since then. So, like, we have to readjust, essentially.
So we decided to reintroduce ourselves and see what we learned about the other.
Now, while we were doing this, and even though we wrote out these questions, I actually didn't come up with an answer to it. So I'm going to, like, probably struggle for this first part. I didn't think about it.
You didn't come up with a rapid fire answer? Uh-huh. Okay. So, rapid fire. We have 5 rapid fire questions to help us warm up.
Mm-hmm.
And so, since you didn't think about it, favorite color.
That's fine. I'm going to go for it. Favorite color? Black.
Red.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why red? It's changed?
Yeah, it has changed. I don't know. Red is just, I don't know. I've just been, it's been calling to me. And on top of that, Drew rocks red so beautifully.
I'm not going to lie. That probably would have been mine too, which is just.
I just love how red looks on her. And then when I wear red, I'm like, look at my skin. I need to get more red.
Mm-hmm. Can I change my answer?
No.
I want to change my answer. I thought about it.
Favorite ice cream flavor. What's your favorite color, Mike? Jesus.
Green.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? That I mean, you always green, in it.
That's my shit. But it's never been a favorite color. But it is now. Like that olive, that shit just look different.
You keep getting green shirts. Like, nigga, stop.
I can't stop. No.
That's his uniform. Mr. Janelle Monae. He always in green.
That's because at certain times in my life, I couldn't wear blue or I get shot. Or I couldn't wear red or I get shot.
Oh, no.
Like, you get tired of wearing black because that's the safe color around you niggas. So I'm just going green.
Okay. Favorite ice cream flavor?
Favorite ice cream flavor is still Moose Tracks.
Okay. Mine is vanilla caramel.
Huh.
I know.
Who are you?
I know.
What did it used to be? It used to be
chocolate.
Look at you. Growth.
You
left the black behind and went for the white with the.
I mean, I still love chocolate ice cream, but now when I see vanilla caramel, I'm like, let me. Because it's just like that perfect. It makes me think of turtle sundaes.
That's fair.
Like a little salt on it.
So I like Moose Tracks.
Yeah.
That there's this gelato that we saw in the store one time that was vanilla caramel. It's good.
Yeah.
I see.
Candy. What's your favorite candy?
Still Bunch of Crunch.
Mine is dark chocolate almonds.
I could see that.
Because I always get them.
It's the only sweet thing you eat at this point in life.
And my daughter loves it too. Drew is loving the chocolate.
She likes chocolate. It's my baby.
I know. Your favorite song right now?
Favorite song right now at this moment? Huh. I know that's a long gap, so I'm going to apologize for that. I've been listening to so much music. It would have to be Dying for Your Love by Snow. That's just where I'm at right now.
You were really into her lately.
Snow is, there are 3 sirens right now. I refer to them as sirens because they draw me in and they get me.
Okay.
It's like I love the way they sing. That is Snow. Chloe and Haley, I'm going to count that as one siren. What the fuck they
be doing?
I thought
it was Hallie.
Is it Hallie or Haley?
That was Hallie.
I'm apologizing if she ever listens to this because I respect
We've been saying Rihanna's name wrong since she came out.
Anyway. It's not wrong.
Go ahead, Mike. Please go
because
ahead.
Because just their voices is different.
Yeah, no, I love them. You know, Drew, her favorite song is off their Sugar Symphony album, Red Lights.
Yes.
That's a song that, like, she just stop everything.
Yes. And you know, her is my third siren because she just be doing shit.
Yeah.
But no, I love Snow. I be waiting for whatever the next song is. I just want her to hurry up. I don't even care. Like, we got real hype over the song. We thought, from what she was posting, that it was going to be like a mixtape. We, as in people who listen to her, like, oh, she about to release some music. And it was just one song and some t-shirts, and we were still hype. We would have appreciated more.
Easy.
I am.
No, I like the songs that you put on the mixtape with her.
Yes.
The song I have on repeat lately is Pussy Fairy.
Really? Because that is my number 4 siren. Mm-hmm. Janae has never left my top 5.
I'm honestly just not getting into her.
I know, which is so disappointing.
It's not. I was into her when she dropped that single way back when, The Worst. But then I heard her live, and I was sad. But that was just one instance. Yeah.
Why are you defending it like how I was defending it?
I mean, I realized now that it was because, I mean, and she even got on Twitter. It was a long time ago, y'all. Randy. She performed somewhere, and people were like, you're catfishing
us. All right, so I'm going to dive into what Randy did and why
What
she
did I do,
it.
Mike?
Randy said she ain't like Janae Aiko because she couldn't sing live. I was like, Randy, everybody not Beyonce. And Randy said, why? Why can't everybody be Beyonce? Why y'all don't have the same work ethic as her? Don't you see? She had kids. She's still out here singing live on video, whatever. She sound the same. Why can't everybody else do it? I'm like, Randy,
this was
people,
old Randy, y'all.
It was. I was like, different people have different talents. Some girls go on stage and pull out that stool and they can sing.
Sit, do what you want.
Some girls dance and do all of that. This is what she chose to do. And this is who she is. Some people are really great in the studio and okay live.
And that's fine.
Any better. But Randy was not. She was like, no, nah, I can't.
Y'all, this is this was, what was this, 10 years
this
ago?
This was old Randy. Nah, it was like 5.
Like, it couldn't have been that short.
We were married when we had this conversation. We were. We absolutely were.
The worst came out a long time
not
ago.
I think this was over something else.
No, it was the worst. Because she did, it was her singles and she was performing it everywhere. And I just so happened to catch, what year did it come out? 2013. Mike.
So this was before we were married. Okay.
Yes. So old Randy.
I feel like it was something after this or when she
performed it after this. No, it was this song.
But that's funny.
It was this song. And I was 2013. I was still in college. I ain't know nothing. But now I do. And I love Pussy Fairy. Celebrity crush. What's your celebrity crush?
Oh, it's still Rihanna. That and her name is pronounced Rihanna.
Well, I have too many women celebrity crushes to pick, so I just went with my man, Sterling.
Didn't think you were Brown. Going in that direction. Thought you would name a man.
Sterling Brown, yeah.
Are we supposed to name men crushes?
You don't have to. I just want to make it clear that I have many. I was trying to figure out like which woman I would choose. It just don't seem right. So I'm going to just stick with one man.
Got you.
That's been consistent lately. Sterling Brown.
So you have a crush on Sterling Brown. Elaborate.
He's just beautiful. He's just beautiful. He's random and this is us.
Did you have to say this like
he's,
that?
He's... What?
Your eyes are getting really wide. No, like that's fine. Share. Please share.
He's random and this is us. He's the lieutenant in Frozen 2.
Mm-hmm.
That whole scene when Olaf is describing the first movie, he's like, what? It's so funny.
Gotcha.
Anyway.
So you thought
he's
funny.
And he's Killmonger's daddy and... In Black Panther, and I just saw somebody tweet about this, but him in that gold chain and that fitted shirt, not gotcha. Dressed like Randall at all.
Okay.
You dressed like the Q that he was in one of them episodes, and This Is Us.
That's funny.
Man.
So you like that he was a Q in This Is Us, and like, gold chains and fitted shirts, and that's what you
Why
like.
You have a problem? I don't have a problem.
I don't have a problem. I'm
why
just
you,
curious.
Why are you
I'm
questioning me?
This is weird.
Why are you questioning me?
This is about questions. We wanted to get
this
more
is rapid
answers.
Fire. So that's our rapid fire segment. I don't ask you to explain your crushes. Don't be up here. I know why you love Rihanna. Who doesn't love Rihanna? She's on my list of women crushes.
My sister don't like Rihanna.
First of all, we cannot talk about that because her reasons for not liking Rihanna are so convoluted.
Yes, but other people don't like her.
We cannot. We can't put her out like
that. Why people don't like Beyonce?
That is not the same. What?
It's the same as why people don't like Beyonce. People still think Beyonce worships the devil. Like, you're not. Like, people have stupid reasons for not liking people.
Why can't black people just be powerful? Why can't we just be black? Anyway, don't get me started. My black is in the episode is up. Because I don't talk to people about Beyonce. Hi, Juicy.
Oh, God. You want to say something to the people? Anything.
Anything, baby.
Say mommy.
Mommy. All right, and we're moving into our questions. We are going to ask each other 3 questions each. It was 5, but we're going to maybe answer also the questions that the other asked ourselves so that we can know. But yeah, so Mikey, you first. What's your first question to get to know me?
All right, so we have a daughter, healthy marriage, a dog, great sex. Solid communication. Are you happy with how your life turned out up to this point? And can you see yourself doing this for another 30 to 60 years?
I feel like the question is a leading question. You're leading me.
Probably.
Prosecutor. Because you named all the reasons why I shouldn't have any issues.
No. It's not, do you have any issues with, can you see yourself? Like, I know that just like with all the positive things that I listed, obviously there are challenging things, but can you see yourself? Because those things that I listed were things that we talked about when we were 16, 17.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want a dog. I want a kid. I want to live together. And I want to, like, be happy with the person that I'm with and actually want to be married to them. So now that we have those things in some form or fashion, because we always get what we ask for from God at some point. Can you see yourself doing this for another 30 to 60 years?
Yeah. I do.
And are you happy with how your life?
I mean, yes, I feel like so far we have grown with each other. You know, we've kept up with each other's growth and changes for the most part. Mm. Like in terms of like what we know. Like there is maybe some growth that you had that I don't know about or that I can't, like, you know. But yeah.
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 Okay.
Yes.
I just think it's important to do that check-in.
Like, you want to know if I want to leave
like,
you.
Like, yo, like, not for that reason, but are you still happy?
Yeah.
I think it's just an important question to ask because assuming we'll get you caught up, I've been learning from everybody's relationship as of late. A lot of people have broken up during this pandemic.
I mean, yeah, it's hard.
It's, yeah, it's just not something that they foresaw when they were living life, how they planned it from when they first started their relationship. So,
mm-hmm.
you know.
It's hard.
Are you still down?
I am. How about you?
Yeah, I am. Still very happy with my choice. Dad. But that ain't you and it's not her. So, yes. I am also happy with the way my life turned out. And I could do this for another 30 to 60 years as long as we don't have any other major changes.
Okay, that's not real. So you're not still down.
I am.
Is what you're trying to tell
me. I'm talking about major changes like...
Like what?
Like another pandemic on like super... Like,
in 30 to 60 years, we'll probably have another one.
I don't want...
That's just how this is. We quite honestly might.
I don't want to. No more.
Mikey, we can't control
No more major pandemic.
I know.
That's it. That's all I got. But yes.
All right. So my question is, why is it important for you to grow your hair back?
Oh. Have we not talked about this?
I'm asking.
We haven't. Well, I grew my locks in college. I think I started growing them freshman year.
I don't know. Sophomore year, I believe.
I started growing my hair because, well, I started because my barber got locked up, which we have brought up a couple of times on this podcast. And the only reason why I grew my hair out was because I didn't trust nobody to cut it. And then I figured, hey, I'd lock it. My family, I have plenty of people in my family that have locks and all of the reasons why religiously, spiritually, we grow locks because I'm West Indian are reasons why I wanted to. The reasons why I cut it were the same. I feel like I had stuff in that hair that I needed to get rid of that I did not want to carry into the next section of my life. Good and bad, but just a lot of negativity still swirling around in that hair. And rather than trim it, because I didn't know what I was trimming, I just felt like it was best to just cut it and start over. I started getting my hair cut again regularly. I found a barber who wasn't bad, but it still just didn't feel right anymore. I don't know. I didn't want to keep getting my hair cut. And so I started growing it out again. Then a pandemic hit and I can't go to that barber. So I was like, oh, well, I definitely need to go ahead and grow it out. I like the things that have happened since my last haircut. We've had a child. We've been good. A lot of positive things have been happening to us. And these are things that I want to just kind of lock in. And so I want to start over because I'm healthier. My hair is healthier. I would like something also to take care of personally. I miss doing my little retwists on Sundays where I sit down for 4 hours and put on some movies or whatever and do my hair. You know, I miss taking care of myself in that way. I kind of just want to do it again. I don't know when I'm going to lock my hair. Probably after my birthday. Right now, I'm just going to let it grow. But I don't know. I just want to grow it out again. Feels nice.
Okay. Thanks. I can't really answer that question, but yeah. Thanks,
why, babe. Why do you still have your, why haven't you cut your hair off?
I have cut my hair.
Awesome. Off.
Oh, off. I love my locks. This is the first time I've grown my hair, like been responsible for my hair. My mom took care of our hair when we were kids, when mm-hmm. our hair was permed and it flourished. And then she let us do it ourselves and it broke off because we didn't know anything about our hair. Mm-hmm. And so that's one thing I'm going to do different with Drew. I'm going to walk her through why I use certain products and how to actually take care of her hair so that when I do stop doing her hair, her hair does not fall out. But I knew I needed to go. I think she'll be fine. Yeah.
That baby hair is thick.
Yeah, it is. I want to stay that way. You know, if she decides to keep her hair. But yeah, like my hair was like my first plant.
I've always wanted hair down my back
and I got that. Then I was like, this is some wild shit.
It was wild.
With my baby spitting up, throwing up every day, breast milk all in it. So I cut it. And now it's growing back and it's growing back thicker.
Yes. Same.
Yeah. So, and I also like what the new hair is collecting. And I don't see myself cutting my hair off anytime soon, but never say never. And
you look fine with a fade.
I think I have a funny shaped head.
I do too, but with the right fade, it'd look nice.
Nah. But yeah.
Good question.
All right, babe, your turn.
Okay. I have been a fan of your body our entire relationship. This is on record. From before we started this podcast, you know how I feel about you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no secret that you have had body image issues in the past. Mm-hmm. You talked about them, similar to the conversations that I had when I did the dad bod episode. Mm-hmm. However, after giving birth to a child and dealing with your weight gain and loss by creating healthy workout habits, seeing positive results, doing yoga, eating better, and appearing to like yourself more, I am curious to know, what is something that you love about your body now that you didn't before? We had a lot of conversations about what you don't like.
Yeah.
We have had that talk for decades, but I'm curious now as to what it is that you like most about yourself with all the work that you've put in and all the shit that your body has been through.
My ass. I love y'all, my butt. So, and it's so funny. I had this friend in college.
I figured that was your answer. I had a follow up, but I'm going to wait till you finish.
Okay. I had a friend in college who actually went to my high school. My sister and I high school. She was my sister's year. And every time she would see me, she would call out Judy. She's like, Judy. And I hated the name because I hated being thick. Like, I hated, no matter how much weight I lost. I mean, my smallest, I've been 128 was my smallest. Mm-mm. And it was I'm not coming for anybody's body, but for me, my body does not look good skinny. I'm not meant to look skinny. It was not.
Randy looked hungry.
My mom was concerned. But everyone, I was running was track. So
yeah, so that was the reason.
So yeah, I was running track. So that was back in high school. But she was like,
are you forcing yourself to throw up?
I don't want you. No, seriously. She was like, I don't want you. Like, my pants are falling off. Like, I've always had some form of like body dysmorphia. So I wasn't even conscious of the fact that my clothes don't fit. Mm-hmm. Anyway, and the smallest I've been in as an adult has been 145.
And Randy used to always wear my clothes also.
Yeah, like, so Randy, then people always thought I was like shirts, bigger than like mm-hmm. I was, because I just wanted to like hide for like lots of reasons. But anyway, since she used to call me Judy and just freaked me out, I hated it because I didn't want to be recognized for my ass.
Judy being a reference to Big Booty Judy.
Yeah, so, but now.
Now,
after I've had this baby, right, 28 years later, I've had this baby and I've gotten off the pill, which we haven't talked about, but I stopped taking birth control.
You just gonna slip that in there? That's a conversation.
I mean, I think that also impacts the fact why I like my body. Mm-hmm. Like, I got off the pill because with no intention of getting pregnant.
We are not trying to try.
But just in terms of like trying to have more ownership over myself and all this stuff. Anyway, we can talk about that another episode. That's done wonders for our sex life and done wonders for my body on top of yoga and all those things. But I just realized that, like, a few weeks ago, I put my hand on my back and my butt. Like, my fist was sitting on top of my butt because it is lifted. Mm-hmm. Because of all the yoga and the random workouts I do on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I was like, bitch, girl. And then when we went to the canyon and you took all those pictures, and my butt,
it's there.
My butt looks so damn good. And I was like, oh, this is why Mikey. Oh, and this is why people. I could never see it. I think my butt looks so good. And so I just did a thirst trap. I just put the picture out there.
I used to think that
you hated it.
This is not a joke. I used to think that you had that you were nearly blind. I felt like that was the only real explanation for what was happening, because I don't understand how you could look at yourself and not see what the world would see when they look at you.
I just didn't have any good connotation associated with being thick or being myself, I should say, because it's just how I'm built. That's genetics, and like I said, even when I work out and I get down a certain weight or I build
even
muscle.
That would throw me. We from the South.
I know.
It's the most
I love it on other women.
It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make no sense. I know. And so I'm finally getting to the point where I was like, but I also had to realize that like the lens that I was looking through was a very white supremacist lens, and like what I was comparing my body to or what I didn't like about my body. And like, once I stopped trying to erase myself and engage in that activity in that way, I have a great body, and I'm trying to. Yoga has helped me a lot with like understanding its power in terms of like what I can do, you know, just like what this body has done for me. Got me my baby, you know, sustains my relationship with myself, with my husband, with my friends, you know, so I see why it's great in my butt. Jeez, I mean.
I love you, and I appreciate that you have fixed your eyesight.
What was your follow-up question?
That was it. It's just how.
Yeah, I mean, I had to like, it is still a process, but I had to heal. Because it used to be I hated it. But no matter what, I mean, you know, my, you've been with me for so long. No matter what I did.
That's why I always thought it was futile also. Cause I'm like, and I.
No, my butt just never went in no matter what I did.
Really don't get that. All right. Obviously, it's not the number one reason why we together. But you have to understand that your appearance is also one of the reasons why I am into you. Do she think I'm lying to her when I tell her these things about her attractive? Or is she just not listening to me? Or is my... What I'm saying just must not carry much weight.
Well, it's not about you.
I'm saying this is how...
Which is what I had to tell you. Like, it's not about, like...
And everybody I talked to, it was just... It would be the same confusion. Other people, like your family, they'd be like, I don't know why Randy don't understand. She, like, but people would also still compliment you all the time. And mm-hmm. I was like, so where is she getting the negative stuff from? Because from everything I know about you and everything that I know about where we grew up and stuff that we have both seen, it was just confusing to me. Like, you are the girl that people chase because of how you look.
I didn't know
that. It's like, it's a prize. So I'm always curious as to why you was like comparing yourself to like little white girls or little Asian girl, like whatever.
People chase me? Don't come
type. Yes, Randy. It's you haven't been to the strip clubs. Or you even... So then you saw the video the other day and you saw this little scribble, but that ain't the scribble.
I don't even, y'all, I'm not even here bashing about it, but I couldn't, I mean, no, I'm not even gonna say that. Never mind.
The skinny, dainty girls have never been my thing.
I just feel like never mind. No.
But the girls with meat on their body in all the right places. There are so many songs about this. I like Big Butts was one of the first ones. Anything regarding any thick girl, anything from UGK, anything I have put on a previous mixtape that you can find at patreon.com/blackmillennialmarriage with songs about why you should appreciate a black woman's figure.
But see, all black women don't look like me either.
But a lot do where you are from. We haven't had this conversation, but there's a difference between like a New York looking girl and a Southern girl, like an Atlanta girl. They just look different. One is like a little shorter, probably 5'4", 5'3", or whatever, and they skinny.
And muscular, because they walk everywhere.
Exactly. All you do is fucking walk. That's it. And every once in a while, you find that, and they might have some ass. Like, that's the thing. Mm-hmm. But all they do is talk about girls from the South and how all y'all are like born with it, gifted with it because of the shit y'all eat that they just don't eat. Like beans and rice,
and we don't walk like nowhere.
Buttermilk and shit. And all y'all do is sit in cars.
I hate buttermilk.
And ride around. Look,
it's so sour.
But and while those like little stereotypes or whatever existed, them shits was true. And so whenever it was between girls I dated up north or girls I dated down here, it really wasn't a comparison. Like you could see how they physically appeared. Anyway, the point I'm making is I was always confused by what you did not see or what you were seeing and what you were basing it off of. And I was starting to just get sad. I was like, I don't know if I can deal with this girl not seeing herself as this thing forever.
I know.
I just can't because it don't make sense.
It's a lot. I mean, imagine insanity. How I feel. Like, I couldn't deal with myself.
It's insanity.
Especially when I'm committed to, like, this fit life and, like, this ass, it ain't
moving. I was like, what are you trying to get rid of it for? What pancake... Flat ass, are you like, what's your goal here?
No matter what I do, y'all, even if I stop doing squats.
If you got lipo on your ass alone, it's not getting it out. Like,
I would never do that, but.
You gotta understand. Yeah. Like, that's just there.
Well, thanks, Mike.
I'm glad that you appreciate it. So,
I mean, it's great. That's yoga, fine. Y'all. Yoga and any of these pop sugar videos. Anyway, we'll talk about it later.
So I figured that was your answer because you've always appreciated your skin or started to grow appreciation for your skin.
I've always loved my skin.
And
taking care of
so
it.
So I figured it was like ass or legs.
This is my second question, right?
Yes.
Do you still worry I will leave you? And depending on your answer, how does that affect how you love me? Because I felt like when we were younger, mm-hmm. on up to like maybe moving in with mom, you like, I felt like you always moved in like this fear that I would like leave you. Mm-hmm. And so you overcompensated and did all this extra shit. And I was like, I really just want you to turn the TV down. I ain't asking for
a new TV.
I'm not asking for two new TVs. I'm asking you to turn it down so that I can read. But you're so stressed that I'm going to abandon you mm-hmm. for your reasons, you mm-hmm. know, that, and it's a lot. It was a lot because mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of ways I feel like we reparent ourselves by parenting Drew, and we, I know a lot of ways also reparent ourselves as spouses and reparent each other, which I know is like kind of frowned upon with people. Like, I'm not your mom and you're not my dad. Mm-hmm. However, in relationships, especially in like, I guess, lifetime, life partner relationships, you do have to help people, like, or like be around for people's healing process as they stay with you and realize like what they have to fix from their childhood. If that makes, like, you have to, we have had to cater to the ways we were neglected or hurt as kids by our parents and family members in life as spouses, which could seem like parenting,
you
but
give your love language that because you don't know, like,
yeah, like
you give what it is that you're looking to receive.
Right. And so, and that can be the same in terms of like you having to deal with my self-hate, this fear of abandonment and neglect from me that you would feel wore me out. And I don't feel it as much anymore, but in some ways it does come up when you're triggered or like when you're like, it feels like, in a lot of ways it feels like I'm talking to a younger version of Mikey that is still dealing with a lot of his parental issues. Like we all are, we both are, but not in the same way. So that's why I asked, do you still worry? And if, and depending on how you answer, I want you to also tell me how that affects how you love.
So I think I can pinpoint the day or the time period where I stopped worrying that she was going to leave me. So I don't have the first question. So no, I don't think that you're going to abandon me. I think I let that go probably right before we moved out of Vining Ridge. Before we got here, maybe a year before we got here. Remember that night we were all dying? I was sick and you were pregnant and
when the random ass bug, like flu, came through the house and like you were the only one who got it, and
I was floored, y'all. I was super weak. I could not move. Throwing up. I was not feeling well.
Like, it was Randy so random.
Took my brand new car, less than 30,000
to
miles,
To Walgreens. To get him some medicine.
She went with Drew, with Groot, and she was pregnant. Randy goes into the store, comes back out, and Groot is in the car looking at her.
Like, bitch, like, what are you giving
Randy
her?
Said, so the battery wasn't working.
My battery, his car key. It went unlock the door. And so Groot was like, stop playing. Groot was like, stop playing.
So,
and my phone was dying.
So Randy's phone was dying. The only way she could charge it was just she got in the car to charge it. So she wasn't really able to figure that out. Randy was finally able to get a call to me, who's at home dying, saying, hey, I need you to come get us. I was going to drive Randy's car to pick her up. But Randy...
tire went flat, wasn't it? Y'all, yes. These straight
and
Satan.
The keys. You had the car keys.
I had the car keys because we didn't have a spare. Why didn't we have a spare?
It was some stupid shit.
Y'all, like...
it was just a really long night. All right, so I brought that up because
Therese, his sister, had to come.
Yes, to get the key from you, to come back, to help me get the car so I can get to you to get the junk.
Y'all, and it's like midnight.
Oh, yeah. Walgreens closed.
Right.
So my pregnant wife is standing outside this store.
Dark.
While we all sick. I'm dying. Oh, while after answering the call from Randy and waiting for my sister to come, when I was walking down the stairs.
He fell.
I fell down. All 16 steps.
Imagine Wolf of Wall Street. What is it?
When he was drunk.
When he was drunk trying to get to the car on drugs. And he's like dragging himself to the car. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was big at this point.
Yeah. He
it hurt. It. That whole thing hurt. I definitely sprained my ankle and wrist.
It was
whatever.
A long. I couldn't believe it. And Groot looking at me like, what are you doing?
It was all just embarrassing. And I started thinking about how embarrassing I am. Like, truly am. Like,
what?
Just hear me out. I've done some stupid shit.
Yeah, yeah.
I have
done some stupid disagreement from me there.
Shit. And sometimes, like very little time through no fault of my own, stupid shit happens to me. You have done some stupid shit. And a lot of the time, through no fault of your own, stupid shit happens to you. And we still stupid as fuck together. Like, we're still... I was like, look. If nothing else, all the shit that we've been through should prove or show me where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
For me to hold whatever childhood trauma I was holding on to, which was guiding this worry or fear, like, makes no sense. It's the same as me trying to put some shit on you. Like, why can't she just see this? Because that's just maybe not where her mind is at. Because maybe she's holding on to something. And it doesn't make any sense that she's holding on to it. But, like, it's kind of hypocritical of you to be mad at somebody for holding on to some shit that has nothing to do with them if you're doing the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I was like, nah. This nigga ain't leaving.
I can't get in the car.
And now she knocked up.
I can't get in the car.
And you know what? If I'm honest about it, I'm actually a good nigga. I am a good person to be with. I am a great partner. I give great sex.
I'm nodding. So that I don't keep interrupting you.
I take care of her to the best of my ability, as anybody would want to. I'm actually a catch. Which is shit that I thought prior to getting in this relationship. You know, when you're in the courting stage with anybody, this is the shit that you think when you're talking to somebody new.
Yeah, you
been
bragging.
Together for so long.
You forgot.
You just forget. Be like,
I'm just out here with you
insecurities.
For insecurities. I mean, that's fine. We all have up, them.
But like, nah, that's all that shit's dead. I'm still the shit. I'm just married with a kid. I'm married with a kid and I'm the shit. Just no. I've grown out of that. I don't have that. However, when I was that way, when that fear was there, when you're trying to hold on to something desperately and you start doing shit, just, you know, again, the performative shit, it's just not in the right, your heart's not in the right place when you're doing it. So again, I'm doing all of these things out of fear. So once I've gotten over that, I'm like, well, I still love her and I still like to do all these things, but just not with the same, not with
fever.
That,
not forever.
That, yeah, not with that behind it. Like, I'm still going to, like, wait on her, and I still want to, like, give her gifts, and I still want to be kind to her. Just, like, I can chill
you
the fuck out.
Randomly.
I actually have a lifetime to do this. This is not me trying to
you
get it in before
she leaves. You can start with doing the things I've asked for.
Yeah, instead of just all the things that I think she wants or the things that I want to do. So,
how does that affect how you love me now?
The same amount of crazy love is there. I loved you insanely when we were a child. I love you insanely today. I just realized that I needed to put that energy into how you want it versus how I wanted to give it to you. So now it's just a little bit more listening instead of acting. I used to do a lot of just, I would
random
act.
Shit.
I
random would shit.
That was me. And you liked it. But then sometimes I'm like, your reaction just really wasn't on par with,
because you're doing this random extravagant shit, but this TV is still loud.
So I'm doing a thing that, again, that I want to
like,
do.
Why don't you want to do?
Would be great, but it's not the thing that you asked for, and it's not.
Because my love language is acts of service. Just do what I ask. I don't need extra shit. Do that shit for my birthday or Christmas.
And so that's when the adjustments happen. And so now I was like, all right, well, I will save that energy for another time, and I'll put it into this. But something in me still wants to do something for her, so I'm gonna just go in tonight when we have sex. Like, that's just kind of that's the way that the energy is now. Or
translate
I just
it.
It's always just putting it off till the next day, waiting for the next opportunity to do the thing that I want to do. But nah, I still love you crazy.
Thanks, babe. I love you.
Thank you. I feel it.
That's good. Thank you. All right, your turn. Your third question?
Yeah. I had four and I was prepared to do some stuff depending on how these questions went. All right. So I guess I'll go with this one. So you have admitted to keeping things for me.
Y'all not seeing his face the way he said that. Go ahead.
You've admitted to keeping things for me from fear that I'd react in a way that would make you regret bringing it up.
Or marrying me.
It would make you reconsider your life.
A whole
who
life.
Who you had a child with. The fact that you now got to be a co-parent.
Right.
With a nigga from a distance.
Like, oh, shit. Like,
you was like, nah, I can cut bait here. This is a good point. I would still have a lot of my life to salvage. I recognize I got an ass. I can catch my nigga. Like, you,
no,
you
I would never get married
head.
Again. Never get married again. Ever.
I don't want to hear about you out here fucking. Even. Just
why?
Because.
What do you mean?
You know how sad that would be?
Well, we ain't together.
I'm just saying. Do you know how sad? That concept of
outside
like
a
being
podcast.
So wildly in love with somebody and then now y'all not and now that person is just out there, it's crazy. Would that not like make you feel away if you found out after if we split for whatever reason
and you was like fucking
yeah you not gonna feel away?
I'd be laughing like this. Y'all think he just moaning? I had to teach him that shit. You think he know? You having orgasms? Y'all put his finger on it. You all know? Like, I did that. So I would respect some reparations, some flowers. I would just give
that's
you my shout out.
You think.
Like,
so
I told you, by the time we break up, if we ever broke up, and like, you know what it would take for me to be done with you? Mm-hmm. It'd be like, it never happened. That was a phase in my life. Like, I'm serious. So
I would want
your shop and give me my rights and my license rights.
Uh-huh.
And do what you do.
Got
that's
you.
If, like, but you know that where I would have to be for that to be.
I wasn't talking about the extreme case. I'm saying, hypothetically, we
I'm
split.
Telling you.
You're not going to be bothered. And your response
I
was, nah,
I'm
going to be looking at them bitches like,
I did that.
But you didn't.
I did that.
Also, you think I'm going to be treating them like how I treat you? I'm getting into my old bag. I'm going in. I ain't leaving none of y'all motherfuckers satisfied. You feel me? I'm getting mine and getting out.
Like, I don't. Can you even do that anymore?
Yes. Yeah. I can. I can't do it with you. I can't because I love you. I gotta please you. I want to do all of these. I don't give a fuck about none of that shit.
Okay, I would hope that you would be a better person.
A wild Mikey turns back to the world. Oh, absolutely. Something.
Why
just,
can't wild Mikey just keep giving quality work?
I will still be a quality person to someone, but you have to understand.
So you're not going. If I. But isn't the point? Do you not get off on sex or also doing it right?
I do if I'm attached to the person.
You and a
this,
nigga.
This is the thing that I always tried to explain to you before. Like when you like dating, nah, it ain't always about trying to please
somebody. That's why I made your ass wait.
And that's
you
how,
wait.
But you gotta understand, people that I dated before, that's how they got attached. Because I was like out here trying to like love on them. I was like, we was just fucking, but it felt like making love to you because you never experienced this shit.
You're a dick.
I'm dead ass. And so then I was like, wait, I gotta start separating from this girl a little bit. Like I'm doing
so
too
you
much.
Give whack sex? You want to
give good enough? It's still better than what the fuck you received, but listen, because now they know
here.
What I'm capable of, they will return.
Ain't none of that over here.
And they will accept the average because they know the greatest.
I didn't accept mediocre. I just want to put that out there.
But you never got mediocre. You didn't.
I never got mediocre in a sense.
Period.
Mikey.
See, I know what you're saying. You didn't get extravagant from jump. You got great forever.
I got great considering that you were my first time and mm-hmm. how good it was compared to what I have heard. And stories I've
again, it's the point.
Like
that
I know that I, but like that should have been your bare minimum. That should be your bare
That's
minimum.
Your opinion and your view based off of your experience.
So like
I'm
now
that
I've been paid 30 an hour, you can't. You can't go down.
Now that I know, I can go fuck with other. Like nah. I can take that energy elsewhere. But there are still some people, Randy, who have never been paid 30 an hour.
That's
so when they finally they at their 12 an hour. So when they receive 15, they're like, oh god,
no,
that's a
oh no,
that's a big deal.
What about after taxes?
And $15 an hour requires very little work for me.
Oh,
you know what
no.
I'm saying?
What would you explain $15 hour sex to me? Please, I just want then we can move. On. Please, please explain $15 hour sex.
You get 5 minutes, 12 positions. It seemed like the greatest shit in your life.
You just gonna be moving me around the
whole
bed,
whole bunch
niggas?
Of movement,
no.
Mad movement, all the movement in the world, lifting you. Just hope this shit happening. You know, just be like, oh, because you just kind of maybe not
Randy,
so many.
So
positions.
You confuse
Let's say
me
five
into
for
thinking
five.
That I'm having good sex by switching positions,
Randy. Let me tell you right now what happens. So a dude will stroke for maybe 2 minutes in missionary, he'll be done. If he does not change, he will come. You will be disappointed. So if you start feeling like you get into that fever pitch right when it happens, switch position. That's it. That's all you do. Just keep changing positions right before you're about to come. Yeah. It's a whole bunch of edging. That's all it is. It's getting you right to that spot and then changing. You know how girls would express like they was mad, like a nigga would be right there, and then all of a sudden they move, they not licking the same spot no more. Guess what? It's because that nigga was about to come with some shit. Like he wanted to like draw it out for you a little bit more.
Becky,
I'm serious. I'm dead ass.
Trash.
Absolutely, it is trash. But guess who accepts that trash? Because you would rather deal with that trash than that cheating nigga that you was dealing with before, or that other nigga that might have something. I'm already ahead of my game if I come back out here. I ain't got no STDs. And one child. That puts me at the top.
Oh, no.
Boom.
Well.
That whole segment went left.
What was the question?
What's the question?
It was your question.
I didn't even ask the question.
Mikey, what's your what? What was your question?
You've admitted to keeping things from me.
Oh, yes.
In fear that I'd react in a way that would make you regret it.
Welcome back. Okay, what was your question?
Is there anything about me or the family that we have built that concerns you going into the next couple of decades of our lives that you haven't told me about?
That's a good question. That I haven't told you about.
You told me to look at you and ask, what question would I ask? That was the one.
Well, I'm always thinking about having another kid and how I really don't think, I can't see myself ever being willing, ready to have another kid. Though we have always dreamed of having a son. Like, I remember when we were pregnant the first time, you know, we combined their names and because we didn't know who we were having. And like, but like now that we have Drew and just the impact or the effect that kids have on marriage, that how crazy our like 2 years have been. I'm just now finally feeling like myself and she's 17 months, about to be 18 months. I just worry that like, I worry about what adding another kid in our marriage to our family would be like on us. If we could bounce back from that or adjust to having another person. I worry about not having another kid and like, will Drew be lonely? But I don't know a lot about only children, because I don't have many friends who are only kids. I don't know many only children. I worry that if we have a kid, you know, because of my fear. And Drew hates them. Like, you know, you ain't always cool with your siblings. You got a lot of siblings who cut each other off, don't know each other. But like, if we get sick, I remember when my grandma Pat died, she had four daughters. They got to lean on each other, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, if we get sick, who does Drew have? Like, I'm constantly thinking about what having another kid would be like. And if I want to, I mean, I know it's still really early. People always say give it a few more years because it's hard to think clearly when you have a toddler.
Drew is about to be two.
Yeah, and even my mom was like, she was a lot, not in a bad way, but she's very much like my baby brother to my mom in terms of like how she is and how smart and just into everything. And Keon was her last baby, and she was like, I think I'm done, you know. So anyway, one of the things I haven't like told you is I think about what it would mean to have another kid all the time. If I would ever be ready, what effect that would have on our marriage, whether we do, whether we don't. Because I also know that getting pregnant again also requires us to set us up. We could miscarry again. We could miscarry at the end of term. We could have a stillborn. We could be fine. You know, like, it takes another level of bravery. So it's always on my mind about, like, what another addition to this family would be like. And it concerns me because I don't know. I don't know. I loved having a sister. I hated having a sister. You know, like, I love my brothers, you know? You know,
that's the sibling relationship.
Yeah,
that's
so
exactly
like
what happens.
You know, and then like also feeling very protective of Drew, and I need to be able to see who's around her and all these things. And like, I know that the more kids you have, the less time you can give to your kid, you know, and it's about quality for me and not quantity. But I don't know. So yeah, this is what's on my mind. We haven't really talked about it because when I bring it up, sometimes you're like, nah, don't. Or sometimes you're bringing it up and I'm like, nah, don't even entertain me.
Because I feel like when either one of us bring it up, it's leading. We are leading to wherever we're trying to get to, but we'll never get there because of how the person responds.
I mean, Drew, it was hard. And I don't know if it was just hard because of what we were going through or if it's just hard because it's hard. So
I think that it was hard because of what we were going through. I think that your situation always determines how you view it.
And I was sick as shit.
Randy,
I was so sick.
We had both had jobs and we were both straight. Like, actually, we were actually in a place where people say you should be if you're good. Both, everybody got health insurance. We all got stuff covered. Everything, bills are floating. There's extra money at the end of the month from what's left over from your pay. And everything was on, it was fine. It was on autopilot. The loss happened. Shit started going a little bit south. Your job started looking at you like, do we really want this motherfucker around? Because she don't like participating in our white shit. my job started acting up. They like, we lowering certain people's
pay. We're not
allowing y'all to get y'all bonuses that you once have. So I'm like, all right, I may have to get the fuck out of here. It's really what happened. And ultimately, I'm going to have to make this career switch because I don't want to be in this anymore. I recognize that this nonprofit does some great things, but y'all not really doing it for the right reason. Anyway, so we were all in that space. Then everything was still fine. Then you got pregnant. So we were dealing with that stuff before. Then you got pregnant again. And we were worried because of everything that happened the first time. Then you got fired.
Mm-hmm.
Your job was like, actually, we do want this motherfucker to leave because we don't like how she not participated in our white shit.
Mm-hmm.
And my job, I was getting ready to leave because I had found out about this program that was going to help us make more money because we could not
live
this way no more. Unemployment that you were getting was not enough.
It was what? It wasn't enough.
And because I wasn't eligible for bonuses anymore, which I actually could have made up the amount of our pay for by doing a little extra session.
And you started traveling. It was a lot. People know. Go back.
Would have been perfectly fine. But we weren't. Things started spiraling. And we also just worried about this baby. And this baby came. Like, all right, so now we have to shift. So what can we afford? We can afford this basement. We can afford this and we can make this work. For as long as we need to, until we shift it. And.
But yeah.
So I think it's all situational. Now, mind you, if we were in a space where we had savings and we both still had jobs and we were both still fine and you were in a healthy work environment that actually was going to be supportive of you when you had a child and paternity leave and maternity leave was a thing and all these other things. And we both still had insurance. Like, it depends on how your life is set up that would even make you feel comfortable to start having a decision, the conversation. But we haven't been having a conversation because we hadn't been there. I still think that we are better today at this moment than we were when we actually got pregnant with her.
I mean, yeah, we talked about that.
And that's with her being a part of the equation, because Drew is a brilliant child. She's really smart. She's extremely helpful. She's learning and growing very quickly every day. So, like, now it's a different conversation. But again, we don't know what tomorrow's going to be like or what happens when you actually get pregnant.
And found the right hospital because I had a really rough labor. And it was due to my crazy ass, white ass midwife.
I also don't feel like the savings is big enough. I don't feel like, you know, like, just the space that we're bringing a child into. We're much more aware of that now. And so,
I don't know.
No, I mean, again, yeah. this is a discussion. That's just one of my things. But like, that's just how I feel about it. I feel like once we're in the space where we're like, this right now is what you would bring a child into, because this can be maintained at least for the next 3 years, to where if they came within the next 3 years or.
But I told you, the next time we get pregnant, if it ever were to happen again, I want to be in a position of power. I ain't there yet. Like, we're getting closer. But I want to be powerful because I need to be able to control when I work. Because not, even though it was sucked, it was really hard to be unemployed while pregnant, mm-hmm. because of all the other things that came with. I needed to be home.
Yeah.
How sick I was, how tired I was, how scared I was, I couldn't work under that. You know, I needed to be at the house pregnant with Drew, and I got to be. And I think that helped with my pregnancy. It's part of the reason why I was able to become full time for her to be, you know, like, she was even late because I got to, sit down.
Also,
some women don't need that, but I needed that for this pregnancy. Like, I couldn't imagine working while pregnant with her. That was, do you remember how sick I was? I lost weight.
And they were like, hey, where we were like, lucky you got
fired. You got like 3 weeks to put some weight on. Are we going to have to admit you? You know, because you lose too much. You know, I was sick and I'm still doing the podcast, so yeah, it's just something I'm thinking about. But yeah, I know we, that was all, yeah.
No.
We'll talk about this off the mic.
So thank you for sharing that. It is good to know that that is on your mind, and we are aligned in our concerns in that way. And we are also aligned in what we want
mm-hmm.
in that.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's about timing, and we are not children. And we have to be wiser about the steps we take.
About our, yeah. I mean, we thought we were wise first time around. Like you said, we both were employed, we both had health insurance. The universe is like, it's not the right time to have this baby. I ain't gonna blame the universe. Just shit happens.
Well, nah, when she came, it was.
No,
she,
I'm talking about she, the first baby.
The first one. Yeah.
Shit happens. But, all right, my third question.
And third and final.
Yes. What does healing center care and love look like to you? So I've been listening to this podcast, a few podcasts, but this podcast is called All You Need Is a Little Juju. I think I'm getting that right. I'll link it. But anyway, and she had on this black minister, and she is a sex positive minister, and she's all about, you know, she has this program or workshop called Sir Thrivers. It's like talking about basically, like, she was assaulted when she was a kid, sexually abused for like a number of years. And as she got older, she got tired of talking about trauma. And she was saying that people need to, she's like trying to get to a space where people focus less on trauma informed healing and more about healing centered care as opposed to trauma informed care. And
actually, that would be a good, like, follow up to trauma informed. But
yeah. And so she would, and so it made me think about it, because I was, you know, I just got a new therapist, individual therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling her, yeah, like, Drew is triggering me. And she was like, explain that. And I was explaining it. She was like, oh, your daughter is inspiring you. And just her flipping that word from trigger to inspired completely changed how I was feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, that is inspiration. Like, I noticed that I instinctively use trauma words, like, mm-hmm. triggered. And so I want to know, like, if we reframe it, how does healing center care and love, what does that look like to you, for you? Did you need it? You know, like, what does that look like for you?
I need it? You think I need it from you?
You need, no, just you need healing center care.
I need it from you. Need it from you. Yeah, I need that from you. Like,
you need healing center care from me.
From the person who has loved me properly for the longest. Yeah.
I'm
just saying, like,
as a spouse.
Yeah.
Are you saying as a spouse? I mean, yeah. Like, as somebody, like, if you were ever to go back to your therapist or to get another therapist, your own individual therapist.
Mm-hmm.
Or just in general, if what does being, you can use me if you want, but like, what does, if you had to go to somebody to get some help, and they were saying, well, I have a focus on like a healing center.
To answer your question,
answer it for both ways. Like, how as a spouse can
I would definitely have a preference towards the healing versus the trauma. For anybody listening, trauma-informed care is essentially recognizing that someone has been through a trauma and there are certain responses to that trauma that this person may have.
Mm-hmm.
There's, and it'll run a gamut. It's not, no, you won't get one single response from what someone has been through. Someone's been abused. They may respond negatively to watching somebody be hit. They may not. Like if someone has been neglected, they may respond negatively to being left alone. They may not. Like there's different ways that it goes. And knowing and recognizing that there is a different way, being patient and waiting to see what that response is, and then responding from there is how trauma-informed care works.
Mm-hmm.
Healing-informed care is taking all of that into consideration and now putting action behind it and saying, okay, so how can we, one, look at it in a way that is not damaging to you? And how can we move forward in a way that actually helps you? And I like that spin on it.
Yeah.
I think that that needs to be taught next. I love hearing, okay, so the next steps are, or this is actually how you should look at it because this is a healthy way of going about it and things of that nature. What that would look like from you as a spouse, I don't know. I have no clue. I think it sounds cool, but I don't know. Because sometimes you're not always trying to come from the space of positivity, especially like in the middle of an argument or when somebody is being triggered or some shit like that. Like that take a different level of work. So I have no idea what that would look like. Because again, people are still trying to understand trauma-informed care. But I guess to answer your question, it looks like walking into a situation and just removing yourself from whatever when you approach that person. Kind of like, you know, it's like how the perfect argument would go if someone could frame a perfect argument in their mind. Like we wouldn't yell or argue and everyone's points would be clear or whatever. Or people felt heard or listened to. So I felt like if that was me approaching you about something that I know has triggered you in the past and I know would upset you, just walking into it like, hey, so the purpose of this is I want this to be something that we grow from, and I want you to be okay after we leave this conversation, and I want you to feel empowered after we leave this conversation.
So doing what our therapist said, and like setting your intentions before.
Yeah.
So more healing care would be like walk in and be like, what our expectations and intentions are from this conversation. So I'm not trying to piss you off, but I'm trying to get closer to you.
Not even the but. I'm not trying to piss you off, and I'm trying to get closer to you, and I want to communicate this to you because, and the goal that I'm trying to get from this is this. So anything, you trying to take anything from what I just listed means you just don't, there's no trust listening. Or there's, you're not listening. So healing, if I've now given you everything.
So healing informed care is for you in terms, is like fighting clean, essentially.
So it's just, it's just prefacing it with what is your intention here? So that there's no guessing, or so that even if the argument went a certain way, I'm like, well, no. Well, she said her intention was this. So then she didn't mean it like that. But I need to communicate with her. Hey, so I know that you didn't mean that, but hey, this is how this came across, just so you know. Just so you can be like, okay, well, not to be defensive, but I can see why you would get that. This is what I was trying to say. Just like, you know, the perfect conversation if there ever was a way to
for like a therapist or somebody, what would healing center care look like for you?
Tell me what's wrong. And don't just tell me like...
I'll tell you what.
That I don't like... My last therapist was really great because she listened at a time when I needed somebody to listen, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And she gave information and she gave her feedback as a therapist, but she had that motherly energy, which was something that I needed because I wasn't talking to my mom like that.
Mm-hmm.
I've never talked to my mom like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she was black as hell, African. Like she had like there was something, the energy from her was different. If I was to go to a therapist now, I need you to tell me to do things. Like, I need guidance now more than just listening. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you need, like, tools. Actionable ways to...
Yep.
To execute.
Yeah. What am I doing after the session other than feeling like I just
talked to you? Homework.
Yeah. Yeah. So that I'm not bringing you the same shit later. I know that a repeat customer serves you, but it's not serving me to keep talking about the same thing. And that's what I don't want to. So if I tell you that my goal is to be past something in a healthy way, is to deal with it for real so that it's dealt with for real. Like if there's something that had been eating me up and I really don't want to feel a certain way, we now have gone through a way for me to not feel a way and for me to never feel a way again. Because it's possible. I would like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, babe. Was that it?
That was the last one.
All right. Was I supposed to answer that? No, I don't have to answer that, babe. That's fine.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Engagement. Do you think it's time you reintroduce yourself to your spouse, partner, or loved one?
It is. It is. If you had to consider it for half a second just now, it is.
If so, try this out and let us know how it went. Or do it with yourself and see how that goes too.
Do you know you? I don't think you do know you.
Yeah.
Do you? No.
If again, you're open to sharing results and or your feelings, shoot us an email at blackmailmare@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 770-750-4098 or hit us up on social media with your thoughts on this episode.
Yes, we want to hear back from you.
It's time for Randy and Mike's Fight or Flight. They've held it in all week, but you gon' hear it tonight. Don't really matter who is wrong or right, cause it's Fight or Flight.
Fight or Flight.
All right.
It's my fight. So,
that was a deep sigh, right?
My fight is, again, I'm confronting you about defeating the purpose of Fight or Flight. So, I don't know if y'all remember episode 100, way back when.
Nah, that was a long time ago.
Mike and I switched places. And I'm Fight or Flight. I was him. He was me.
Okay.
And I, as him, said that these movies on his hard drive would be put on this PlayStation 2 months ago.
Yes.
Somebody, and I'm going to pause so y'all can ask the question out loud. Ask out loud, has Mikey kept his promise and moved the movies over?
Now I'm
It's my fight. On this break, y'all, that we had back in July or whenever, Mikey and I had two rules for each other. He had to move the movies over, and I had to give all my clothes to charity because they are from college.
That is what we decided.
And those are the two things we had to do over that 30-day span. Now, ask yourself, did Randy give her clothes to charity, completely clean out her closet?
The answer is
yes.
No. Mikey did.
Mikey.
Go ahead. Get your
yes,
shit off.
I did.
Nah, do you?
Did Mikey keep his word and change over the movies like we've been talking about for months? Now, y'all, Fight or Flight are supposed to be entertaining for you all, so y'all can hear like our real gripes with each other. But they're also supposed to beget actual results.
Results, yeah.
You're not supposed to keep fighting about the same thing. It's hard to fight clean if you having the same fight.
True.
This is not healing informed fighting. You know.
It is not.
This is I quit. This is I'm about to start saying fights with the people. Because I have been asking for this.
Got you.
For months. Now, could Randy do it herself? I don't fucking know. I don't know. Okay. I don't know. This is your PlayStation. This is something you promised to do.
Yeah,
now,
yeah,
we're just going to start doing stuff, you know, that the other promised they would do. What the fuck is keeping the promise for? Like, why do I need you? Are we back to what is happening?
You ready
so
for me
my
to speak?
Fight is.
I'm ready to talk.
Why do you keep defeating the purpose of these fights? Where are my movies?
All right, so I'm going to address a couple of things. To answer the question that you all asked, no, I have not put all of the new movies on the PlayStation because I didn't finish getting all of the old ones off because of the process. No one wants to hear about the process it takes to remove MP4s from
not when you have 30 days.
PlayStation 3. Yeah. No, period. No one wants to hear about the process that it takes to remove videos and then put them back on the PlayStation 3. But it actually takes work. It's actually very, very difficult and takes some attention and time. And I've been doing it slowly, but have not gotten all the movies off. Just as you said, like it is something that you could do by yourself, but it is not something that you promised to do by yourself. It was something I'm supposed to take care of. And so as your husband, again, this being that thing that I have dropped the ball on multiple times, I don't want to even tell you anymore on this mic. I have, again, just been very slowly. I don't even know if you've noticed, but movies have still been disappearing. But I can only do this process when I have your laptop. So, again, working on it, going to continue moving very slowly. But no, the new movies have not been entered. I actually finally just got all of the old movies off. Now, you also, I love the way that you frame things because, again, you're such a brilliant woman. And I feel like you should always start with that compliment when you're building before you break and build again. Randy asked you all, like, and said that she was supposed to be getting rid of her clothes and donating them all to charity. And the way that it was framed was, again, beautiful because, yes, your clothes are all gone. And did you do that all by yourself?
We did it together. We sat and did it together. We got rid of Drew's clothes. We got rid of my old clothes.
It's not the point because the question wasn't, was you supposed to
so
be together?
So is your point that we're supposed to move the movies together? Saying, you were like,
No. My point was that we were supposed to be doing these things by ourselves, but we didn't. You didn't.
I didn't know that we were supposed to do it by ourselves. We agreed.
I'm moving the movies by myself. You're supposed to get your clothes out. Those are the things that we were supposed
to do. Right, but the way that we ended up doing it, Mike, yes, was again, let's clean the whole room
and
together.
Again, the major point that I'm making is that sometimes this shit takes some time. You had not gotten all your clothes out by yourself. You weren't going to because there was so much shit.
Yes.
Piece by piece, I started bagging up your stuff, separating your
together.
Stuff.
Together.
Before that day where we separated, you already had different stuff in different bags.
We went through it again, remember?
Yes, again, but the first time again that I'm saying is I had already separated some of your things. Things were already moving. The point is that shit took some time.
Yes, it did.
It took time.
It did.
Because Randy had a lot of shit that needed to be moved and gotten rid of. Randy had clothes that she had not worn in more than 5 years that needed to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
And it took time. And for the longest, we had been having arguments, tiffs, about laundry. Putting up clothes. Why clothes ain't getting put up? You don't got no place to put them. Well, your clothes taking up all the space. You got to get rid of. Like, these things take time. Similar to why the new movies ain't on there. It takes a minute to get the old ones off. It takes a minute to get the new ones on. It just takes time. And so, during that process, instead of beating you over the head.
What?
In front of our listening audience. About you falling short on it. I was just like, you know what?
Really?
Once the time comes.
Dude, you a superior gaslighter.
Hear me out.
Beating you over the head.
Is that not what you consider this?
This is my fight. That's a fight.
It's
so now
fight.
A fight
I'm
is
not,
beating
you
over the head.
No, a fight is still a fight. I'm just telling you how I feel because you do bring it up because this is the thing that I have fallen short on, which I also agree to. Ain't nobody trying to make you feel crazy or that you are wrong. This is not me gaslighting you, telling you that you are wrong to say what you are saying. I am telling you my view on how I feel about it.
But because you
have it brought back up. It's true. It is something that I'm failing at, which I am telling you. To be beaten over the head, you're not literally beating me, but you are bringing something back up, is what I'm describing it as. That does not mean gaslighting you. Is it, from your view?
My fight was that you're defeating the purpose of the fight or flights. And
because
I brought
I
that up
yet.
Because it hasn't happened. So this isn't me beating you over the head. This is me fulfilling what my fight was. I'm not bringing it up
be
to be
things.
A dick.
I'm not saying that you're being a dick. I'm not saying that beating somebody over the head with something is being a dick about it. I'm saying that that's what it is. Reminding, like, bringing something back up can still be beating somebody over the head.
You feel beaten over the head.
No, I don't feel beating over the head. I'm describing what is happening.
So you're,
bringing
I'm saying
it up,
you're,
like,
you're
I'm
describing
be-
this is beating you over the head about this.
Bringing
this back
yes.
up is beating over the
yes,
head.
Yes, that's what I'm
How
describing
so?
It as. Because I felt like I'm being beaten over the head with this thing.
How
because
so?
It
like,
repeatedly
what?
Needs to be, because it keeps, it's repeatedly being brought up.
Okay.
Just like everything, like I was bringing up and using the clothes as a parallel.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't bring it back up, nor did I keep beating you over the head by, hey, babe, you still ain't put up your clothes. There have been clothes, clean clothes, sitting in a basket for forever. There's nowhere to put them, which means we have nowhere to put dirty clothes.
Babe, that's not my fault that you never brought that up as a fight.
I wouldn't have considered that you
beat it over my head if you kept bringing it up and this kept happening.
But having
an issue with me cleaning has been a repeated fight.
It has, Exactly. I have quote unquote beat you over the head about cleaning for a while. But
so your
I didn't,
point is, I'm serious. What is your point about this is?
My point wasn't even about the whole beating over the head thing. My point was, I am going to continue to slowly, because these things take time, get the movies on, because that is what I promised to do. You are right. All of the movies are not there, but that is what I promised to do, was to get all of the movies off.
And so my follow-up question is, can you just show me how to do it? Because I'm fine with, like, doing that. It never occurred to me that I could have just done it myself, because I would have just done it. But
wait, that's I'm saying this process.
But like,
itself,
I could
it
have.
Takes, it takes like it's really stupid because some of the files aren't.
I mean,
the
I remember
right
watching you start
yeah.
and it being a thing. But what I'm saying is, if it's a lot and it seems like it is, I'm also fine so that this can stop coming up. As silly as it may sound, but this is one of those acts of service things that are like. Part of my love language and mm-hmm. how often we use this thing and how much this has come up, I'm fine with taking it on and just doing it.
But
if
also
too-
during this time, things have shifted. Half of the movies that you wanted me to add are like streaming, and we have a Fire Stick now. We've been using that instead. We haven't even been watching the movies on there until we just got some new movies like The Hobbit and some other stuff. So again, I am still going to add them. And I have been adding them, and I have been taking off the files here and there, but it requires me to have access to your computer. It requires me to have time to sit down and do it because it takes a minute. And
so, like, to keep this from being a fight, we can just, like, we can just, like, nix this whole, like, I'll do a thing, I'll promise thing, and we'll just, it will happen as it can. Is this the new, like, agreement?
Okay.
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 So are you fighting or flighting? Well, I don't know what that was. Was that a fight or flight?
I guess that was a fight.
Okay. Yeah. So we've agreed to that this will not fall just solely on you, because it's a lot to handle and a lot to do.
Or just that it's just going to take more time, mm-hmm. because it's a long process and we have a whole bunch of shit going on. And I have been doing little by little, but to sit down and do all the movies, which again, you saw, because it takes time to delete and add the files, time that we just ain't had.
Got it.
It's just going to take some time.
All right. PDA.
So what has happened this week? What has happened this week? So last week we dropped Drew off again for our child-free weekend. So Drew and Groot were gone, and we went to this canyon in South Georgia.
Yeah.
What city were we in?
Lumpkin.
Lumpkin. Some country. We were in Lumpkin, Georgia, where they have this mini Grand Canyon, and we drove down there. It was, what, 2-hour drive? This was part of Randy's birthday weekend. And we went to this canyon that Randy has been wanting to go to for a while. I think he brought it up the first time maybe 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
And we just hadn't gotten to it. And now that we finally got there, it was one of the most beautiful things that I had seen. Again, we've been locked inside for 6 months, so maybe this canyon ain't the biggest thing in the world to everybody else, but this was a really big deal. I don't remember the last time I saw you that happy in a while. You looked like a big ass kid in a big ass candy store. Just watching you stare at trees, look at, like, just, I don't know, you just looked like you were in your element, and it was really nice to see joy on you. There was a moment where we realized we got out the car after this 2-hour drive, we hit this canyon, and we did not stretch. We had walked through half the canyon before realizing we didn't stretch, so we stopped and stretched. We finished it, and then we were like, we want to go back in, but before we do, we should probably stretch. Randy randomly started doing, like, yoga stretches, and it was just nice to watch you just doing stuff that made you happy all at once, because you have picked up yoga, which you enjoy. Be outside in nature, which you enjoy. It was just nice.
It was.
It was nice seeing you just be happy. So that was my, that's mine.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
My PDA, well, you know, my birthday was great, and it's not your responsibility to make sure, like, I have a good birthday. But for the part that you did take into creating, like, a birthday atmosphere for me, it was really nice. We watched horror films, and you, like, coordinated my balloons that, you know, your sister got me, and pay for the majority of my tattoo after I paid the deposit, because you just knew how much I wanted it, and this is something you decided to give to me. It was just really nice, and I think that you did a really good job for your part in, like, making my birthday very peaceful and loving, and it was really nice. I really appreciate it, because I needed a peaceful and loving birthday, and you aided in that, and I appreciate you. That's great.
You're welcome. That was a good week.
And you drove to the canyon, and you drove back.
Of course, while you blasted Beyonce.
And Janelle Monáe.
And
Janelle.
And who else we listened to? There's like 3 albums. What was the third one?
John Legend's
John
new
Legend.
Album.
His that was like, on the way
Bigger
back.
Bigger Love.
It's a great album.
Yeah. Yeah. So thank you.
Good times. You're welcome. For ad-free episodes, extra and exclusive content, head over to patreon.com/blackmillennialmarriage.
Yeah, this is a way that y'all can, like, support us and, you know, invest in the pod.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
It's popping over there. The Black Millennial Marriage Podcast is on Domino Sounds Network.
Ooh!
With new episodes every Monday and Thursday.
The Black Millennial Marriage Podcast Fight or Flight Jingle was created by Ebony Janae at Janae's Jingles. Details in our show notes.
Yes, we are now and still available on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and all other major streaming services. Rate us
5 stars.
If you enjoyed this episode,
be sure to check out our website, y'all, www.blackmillennialmarriage.com, and follow us on social media platforms. On Instagram, we are
Black Millennial Marriage.
On Facebook, we are
Black Millennial Marriage Podcast.
And on Twitter, we are
@_the_Chapmans.
Thank you again for listening, y'all.
As always, be blessed.
Don't settle.
Fight clean.
Peace.
Root Insurance puts you in control. Root is a new type of car insurance that uses the sensors in your smartphone to look deeper than other insurers. Here's how it works. Download the Root app, hit the road, and we'll take care of the rest. The app measures your driving behavior, like turning and braking, and gives you a custom rate based primarily on your driving. The better you drive, the better your rate, meaning good drivers could save hundreds. Visit joinroot.com today to get started. Disclaimers may apply. See joinroot.com for details.